Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, for the message this morning. John 15. I want to read a few verses out of this chapter. This is where the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples on the evening of the crucifixion. In just a few hours, he will be arrested and then tried through the night, beaten and scourged. And then the next morning, he will be nailed to the cross. And so you can imagine that last words are very important. And we always remember our loved ones' last words to us. And these are our Lord's last words. And what does he say? Well, if you look at verse 9, we'll start reading and read a few verses here, and you'll see what was heavy on his heart as he spoke with his disciples. In verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded, or I command you." Now look at verse 17. It says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." I want to use these verses this morning, and I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, "Living Life with a Loving Heart." Living life with a loving heart. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us and end the message. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the music that has prepared our hearts now to receive the seed of your Word. And Lord, I pray that what is said this morning will encourage us and will challenge us and help us to realize that as your people, we are to love one another. This is not a suggestion that was made. This is a commandment that was given. And so, Father, help us to hear with our hearts this morning and to realize that, Lord, we are to love others as you have loved us. And we all know how much you love us. You love us so much you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross so that we could be saved from our sin. And Father, we didn't deserve that, but you did it because you love us. And so help us to unconditionally just love others. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak today. And Lord, give us ears to hear, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, living life with a loving heart. Now you will notice here in verse 9 that the Lord Jesus tells the disciples in verse 9, "Continue ye in my love." He is telling them to live life with a loving heart. In verse 10, he uses the word "abide in my love." In other words, stay, live there, live in my love. Enjoy it, get all of it, get all you can get out of it. And he said, you should do that as I have lived in my Father's love. In verse 11, he's talking about how that he has told us about this so that we will have joyful hearts. We need that joyful heart in this old, ugly world in which we live. And he said, if you want your joy to be full, then you need to walk and live life with a loving heart. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And as I was reading all these verses, it occurred to me that what the Lord was telling us to do is to live life with a loving heart. And thus the title of the sermon, and thus the sermon. You see, the Lord Jesus was always speaking, if you think about it, and when you read the Gospels, he was always speaking about his followers living life with a loving heart. And there was nothing really, there was nothing radically new in this message. There was nothing radically new in this message that he had, because God created all of us with the capacity to love. One thing I've noticed in all of my travels around the world is no matter where I have been, all people from every nation that I've been, all the way around the world really, all people and all nationalities have the capacity to love. The amazing thing about the Lord Jesus is what he did with this capacity that all people have, and how he gave it new meaning and new life and new light and new energy. Just as he brought immortality to light, the Apostle Paul said, he brought love to light and proclaimed that love was to be spread to all men everywhere. Now, I am not saying that before Christ, nobody ever loved. I'm not saying that. Of course they did. Of course people have loved others prior to Christ coming. Love is found throughout the Old Testament, and the ancient writings from various past civilizations all in some capacity deal with the subject of love. But what the Lord Jesus did when he came, he elevated love to a greater and higher degree and to a higher level than anyone had ever done before. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I mean this. Think about it. Others encouraged us to love our friends and our family, but the Lord Jesus told us that we should love our enemies. That's taking it a step further than anybody had ever taken it before. He did not just ask us to love a few selected people here and there, but he encouraged us, as I just pointed out to you from this passage, to walk in love. If you walk in love, you love everyone you walk up to or that you walk by. And that means you love those that irritate you. That's hard to do. Let's be honest about it. That means that you love those who get on your nerves. Now, I know that nobody ever gets on your nerves, but I'm going to have to be honest with you. There's people get on my nerves. Slow drivers get on my nerves. People that drive in the passing lane going 5 miles under the speed limit, that gets on my nerves. And I know none of you all ever get your nerves irritated. I'm not preaching to you right now. I'm preaching to me. But, you know, the Lord said that we're even to love those that get on our nerves. We're supposed to love those that don't love us. Love your enemies. So what we see is that the Lord expanded love to a way of living life. He expanded love to a way of living life. Now, folks, let's be honest. It is easy for us to love our loved ones most of the time. It is easy for us to love our spouse. It is easy for us to love our children and our grandchildren. But the Lord Jesus told us that the same way that we love our family is the way we're supposed to love everyone. That is living life with a loving heart. He told the disciples one day, by this, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye love one another." What a statement that is. He did not say, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by how loud you shout." He did not say, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by how loud you say amen." He did not say, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the clothes you wear, or by the length of your hair, or whether or not you have jewelry on, or whether you have your hair in a bun, or whether you have earrings in." No. He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one for another." Folks, that is living life with a loving heart. And that's how the Lord wants us to live. Now, I want to give you a couple of thoughts this morning about this passage of Scripture and about the subject of love. And I trust that it will encourage your heart and make you realize, make you take note of what kind of a heart that you have. The first thing I want you to see, I want to show you that our Lord's teaching on love transcends the Old Testament. It goes so far beyond what was taught in the Old Testament. You remember Jesus said that he did not come to destroy the law, the old covenant, but that he came to fulfill it. And what we see in our Lord's life and in our Lord's ministry is he fulfilled the matter of love in a perfect way. Now, while there is plenty in the Old Testament on the subject of love, it is not the main focus of things. In the Old Testament, the walk was in the way of justice. In the Old Testament, you think about it, the walk was in the way of justice. When you read the Old Testament scriptures, you will see love. It's there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not. But it's in the shadows. But the Lord Jesus, when he came, pulled it out of the shadows and set it on display for all to see. The main thing in the law was God's insistence upon justice. In the law, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Under the law, if a man knocked your tooth out, you could hide behind a tree. And by the way, his family and he was expecting it. And your family was expecting you to get justice as well. But he could hide behind a tree and wait for you to come by, and he could clock you a good one and knock your tooth out. Now, you got to be careful you don't knock more than your tooth out, because if he does, he can get vengeance and do whatever extra you did to him. I mean, in the law, under the law, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And all the way from Moses, through the Old Testament, through the prophets, all the way to John the Baptist, there was one long cry for justice for all men to get the retribution that they deserved. All through the Old Testament, there was this passionate insistence upon justice. But then came the Lord Jesus. And oh, how his life and his teaching and his ministry and his message changed that Old Testament attitude. When our Lord came, he came with a new voice. He came with a new attitude. He came with a new tone. The cry for justice was abandoned, and the cry for love was sounded. He says to the man who has enemies, "Love your enemies." Wow, that was new to them. That was new information. And the idea is that you will gain something better than retribution. For if you love the man who hates you, you could just win a friend. Don't you find it strange that Muhammad tells his followers to conquer with the sword, but Jesus tells his followers to conquer with love? The weapons of our warfare, Paul said, are not carnal, but strong to the pulling down of strongholds. To the Lord Jesus, love was the healing balm that soothed all that was broken. Now, you might be sitting here listening to me and thinking to yourself, yeah, right, love your enemies, like that's going to turn a wicked heart. Pastor, that's just dreaming. Well, let me remind you, folks, that the Pharisees one day saw Jesus coming, and they said, behold, the dreamer cometh. But for the Lord Jesus, walking and living in the way of love was the only way to live. And so he lived it. You say he was a dreamer? Well, you're here this morning and saved, aren't you? And not only did he preach that, but he lived that. Can I remind you that when they hung him on the cross to die, the first thing out of his mouth was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is a living the way that he preached about. I mean, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the whole bunch of them, but instead he practiced what he preached, and he loved those heartless, unlovable people who were there with anger in their hearts and anger in their words and anger in their actions, and he loved them even though they were executing him on the cross. Folks, let me tell you something. There is no greater spiritual weapon than a loving heart. Oh, that we would seek to live life with a loving heart instead of living life like we're still under the law. You know, there are a lot of Christians in 2013 who think we're still under the law. When it comes to this matter, you know that old attitude, I don't get mad, I get even. That old attitude that says, I will get you back. That old attitude that says, and this just this just galls me. Every time I hear it, you'll mention somebody's name or you'll mention somebody or somebody will come, and then you hear some professing Christian under their breath saying, I can't stand her. I can't stand him. He drives me nuts. And that just galls me. My friend, that is your brother. That is your sister in Christ. Where's our loving hearts? We need to live life with a loving heart. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus standing there and some guy walked by and the Lord Jesus going, Peter, look at that guy. I can't stand him. No, that would never happen. Because the Lord loved everyone. And he is here challenging these disciples that this is the way to live life. Live life with a loving heart. There's a second thing I want you to consider. I want you to notice, and I found this strange. I really spent a lot of time trying to word all this so that it's clear. But I want you to notice, secondly, think about this, folks. I want you to notice that nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nowhere does the Lord Jesus ever define love. Isn't that strange? Now, when you get over into the epistles, Paul did, John did, James did, they defined it in the epistles, but in the gospels, the words that were written in the gospels, which were spoken by Jesus, not one time did he ever explain love for us. He never defined it. But just like some other great attributes that we are to possess, for example, faith, hope, he never defined any of them. There is never a definition of any of these three words from his lips. Why? Why is that? I think it's because these are characteristics that can only come out of the heart. He didn't define them, but left it up to others later. He didn't define them. Instead, he just lived it so that when it was defined by these others, you would be able, those who knew him, those who read the Bible would be able to say, yes, I've seen that in somebody. I've seen it in Jesus. You remember the Apostle Paul said, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, don't just blow charity off and say it's love. It is much more than love. It is the character of love. Write down the word on your bulletin, charity, and then underneath it, write down the word character, and you'll notice that you spell them the same at the beginning. Charity, character, actor, acting. What is charity? It is how love acts. It is how love behaves itself. It is the character of love. And I think that nowhere, what I can see, nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus define love or faith or hope. And I think it's because these little words touch the very heart of all things. It is, and it's in the heart of things where we find their interpretation and what they mean. Now let me explain to you what I mean. You cannot read the words spoken by the Savior without realizing that his thought of love was colored and cultivated by the relationships of home. To him, nothing was more heavenly than the love that he found in family circles. And folks, you cannot define that with words. It is just something that happens in the heart. Let me illustrate. How many a young man has come to his mom or to his dad when he was in high school and has sat down and stumbled through a conversation until he finally asked his mom and dad this question, Mom or Dad, how do you know when you're in love? Did any of your kids ever come and ask you that question? How do you know when you're in love? Did you ever ask that question of your mom and dad? You're growing up, and all of a sudden, you start feeling these emotions towards some girl, or if you're a woman, a girl, towards some boy, and you don't know what those emotions are. And you sit down with mom or you sit down with dad and you stumble around before you finally get up the courage to ask and you say, Dad, tell me, how do you know when you're in love? And what does every dad answer? What does every mom answer? They all answer the same way. They smile and they say, oh, honey, you just know that you're in love. There are not words to describe it. You cannot put it into a vocabulary and explain it. You just know when you're in love. And you cannot define it, you cannot describe it, but you know what's coming out of your heart. You know how you feel. You just know what's taking place in your life. And I think the Lord Jesus wanted to expand that and open it up to everyone. He knows that we love our spouse. He knows that we love our kids. He knows that we love our parents. He knows that we love our brothers. He knows that we love our sisters. I mean, he knows that. But when the Lord came preaching and teaching, he taught that we should love everyone in the same manner. That was just novel. That was just new. That was just something that nobody had ever said before. But that's love. And that's living a life of love. You see, if it works at home, why not live a life of love in every relationship? I mean, if it works at home, and it does, why not live that way at church? Boy, there'd be a novel idea. Why not live that way at church instead of living under the Old Testament law of justice and retribution? What did as the epistles came then and interpreted for us the life and ministry of Jesus? What did the epistles tell us? Well, they told us this: love covers a multitude of sins. You ever notice if a family member offends you? Well, that's family. And blood is thicker than water. And after a few hours or a few days, we let it go. Because they're family. In most cases, not always. We just let it go. Why? I'll tell you why. Because love covers a multitude of sins. But if someone at church who is not blood relation, who's not family, if someone at church offends me, well, it's Katie bar the door. I mean, it's on. It's going to get ugly real fast. And oh, how many times I've seen that through the years. And the Lord Jesus just came along and he showed us that what we ought to do is live life with a loving heart. Not live life like we're still in the Old Testament. And if you do me wrong, then I'm going to make it my life's goal to get you back. No, he said, pray for those that despitefully use you. He said, love your enemies. I mean, that's a whole different message. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind, folks. Let's love everyone into that family. I think that's what he had in mind. Let's just love everybody. You take your Bible and go back to 1 John for just a minute. 1 John chapter 4. These are familiar verses. 1 John chapter 4. You know these verses. Look at verse 7 and 8. He says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. That's pretty clear, isn't it? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Where does love come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. That's the same thing Jesus was saying over here in the Gospel of John chapter 15. Love is of God. Love is what God gives. We love Him because He first loved us. I mean, when God's Holy Spirit touches my heart and shows me that I'm a sinner and on my way to hell, and then shows me that God loves me so much that He sent His Son to die for me, and that strikes a chord in my heart, that's how I got saved. It was God's love that drew me to God. When I was a sinner, lost and on my way to hell, I didn't want to hear what that preacher had to say. I didn't want to hear what my mom was telling me. But the Holy Spirit revealed to me that God loved me. And it was God's love that drew me to the Father. And I think that's what Jesus had in mind, folks, that we just love everybody. And love everybody into the family. A family is based on love, and Jesus is telling us to just love everybody and get everybody into the family of God. That is living life with a loving heart. And it is God that gives us love. Let me tell you something, folks. Pray for God to give you a loving heart. Ask God for it every day. And you will learn how to live life with a loving heart. Then there's a third thing I want you to see. Lastly, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus wants us to live life with a loving heart because he knows it is the way of God. It's how God lives. It's how God does things. With his loving relationship with his Father in heaven, he knew this was the way of God. He knew that this was the way of God. Love was all he knew when he was in heaven with the Father. So when he came to the earth, he brought that love with him and just spread it everywhere he went. Think of how Jesus saw the love of the Father. Would you think about that for a moment? How did Jesus see God's love? I don't think he saw it as an attribute of God. You know, when I was in Bible college, we had to take, all the preacher boys have to take Bible doctrines their junior year. And the first lesson is on the doctrine of God. And you have to learn the attributes of God and be able to argue from the Bible that God is this and this and this and this. And you have to go down this long list of God's attributes. But I don't think that when Jesus looked at his Father that he saw God the Father as having an attribute of love. I think he saw love at the very center and depth of his being. I don't think that he would say, well, you know, a characteristic of my Father. No, he didn't say that. He said, my Father is love. There's a difference. There's a difference. Love was who God was. Let me illustrate this for you. A couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, as soon as the service was over, the two of my grandchildren, Braden and Jenna, came down the aisle. And when Jenna came towards me, she lifted both arms up in the air like, pick me up. And so I just reached down, I scooped her up, and I held her in my arms. And we walked from here. We were going to my office. I can't remember, but I'm sure that Candy was involved. I'm positive of that. And as we started down the aisle, we walked past several folks and spoke. Then we got out in the foyer, and everybody was coming out of both sections and coming down out of the balcony, and everybody was speaking to me, and I'm standing there holding Jenna in my arms, and everyone is walking by saying, good night, Pastor. See you, Pastor. Have a good week, Pastor. Enjoyed the message, Pastor. Everybody was going by me and referring to me as Pastor. And I don't know how many, 15, 20 people passed me and said, or called me pastor. And when everybody got past, Jenna looked at me serious as she could be. She just kind of looked at me and said, why is everybody calling you pastor? Your name's Papa. Amen. Jenna doesn't know me as Pastor Norris. Jenna knows me as Papa. Do you know God the way Jesus did? He knew him as love. There's a difference. A world of difference. I mean, love to the point where when Jesus thought of him, he thought of him as a loving father with an infinitely loving heart. He was the Father who gave life to everyone and to everything that is. And just as a father loveth his children, God so loved every man, woman, and child on this planet that he gave life to. And that is why he sent Jesus into this world. Because he is love. And I think that's why the Lord Jesus was so bold and so daring during his ministry. Because he had a message to deliver. And that message was to tell everyone how much God loves. God's love was all he knew, and it was the way he saw his heavenly Father. To him, the way of love was God's way, and to him, God's way was the only way to live. And that is why Jesus was undeterred when he was mocked and hated of men. That didn't slow him down one bit. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. It slowed me down a few times. It's deterred me a time or two. You don't know. You have no idea how many times through the years I will have been in my office and getting my thoughts together, and I walk out of that office and walk down the hallway to walk in here and sit down for the service, and somewhere between right there and my office, somebody has said something that just absolutely stuck me in the heart. And man, the devil will start. And there have been a lot of times through the years where the last thing in the world I wanted to do was continue the walk and come in here and preach a message. I know one preacher, he told his people, he said, "I'm done with this. If you want to talk to me, I will see you Sunday night. I will see you Sunday night. I will avail myself to you on Sunday night after the service, after I'm done." And he has four men who take him out of his office at 2 minutes before the service starts. And they go down a back stairway and underneath the auditorium and come in a back door at 7 o'clock, at 9:45, whenever their service starts, and they open the door. He walks in and sits down just so nobody will rip his heart out and get him in a bad spirit before the service starts. That's not living a life of love. Folks, the Lord showed us that nothing was going to stop him in his desire to show everyone that living life with a loving heart was God's way and that everybody ought to get in on it. You don't always have to get the last word in. You don't always have to be the one that makes the critical announcement. You don't always have to be the one that gets the last little dig in. Learn to live life with a loving heart. You say, "Well, Pastor, where do you get that?" Right here. Right here. This is the mind of God, folks. I am holding in my hands the mind of God. It's called the Holy Bible. And the more you're in this book, the more the mind of God becomes your mind. And when the mind of God becomes yours, you will automatically learn to live life with a loving heart. Beloved, let us love one another. Our world is so broken today, and yet the Lord is still asking us to love. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Let's live life with a loving heart. It is Christ's way. It is God's way.